Well, I had a request too, but I'm going to preach anyhow. Turn your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Job, chapter 19. Way over in the Old Testament, book of Job. Chapter 19. Beginning in verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine own eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Father, we thank you this morning. We have this opportunity. We can come and worship and love you and show our devotion and gratitude for what you've done for us. We ask you this morning as we look into your word that you might anoint thy servant and give us the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that we might say those things this morning that need to be said to help this morning in our journey during this walk of life. For all that's said and all that's done, then we want to give Jesus Christ the honor and the glory. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. I went to a reunion last evening, the 50th reunion of a high school. I just went to give the devotion to them old people myself, but no, my 50th, I graduated from high school 50 years ago in 1964, and I went to a reunion last evening and saw a lot of people I haven't seen in several years, and saw a lot of memories and a lot of things were brought up and talked about, and I got to thinking about, you know, there's going to be a glad reunion one day, a real glad reunion, because it's going to be a reunion that really shall never end. I began to think about that, and I thought about over in the book of Job, and Job, of course, is a man that, as you begin to study his life, the Bible says that Job was a servant of God and that God had blessed him in a really abundant ways. And he said, God said that above all the folks on the earth, nobody was like Job. And the devil said, you put him in my hands and he'll curse you to his face. And God said, all right, I'll put him in your hands and you can do anything but take his life. Of course, we know that Job underwent many things in his life. And here in the 19th chapter, as you begin to read through this chapter, you find that Job kindly gives a summary of what had taken place in his life up until during that period of time. He tells about how that all of his relatives had forsaken him, had left him, and were no longer concerned about him. He talks here about how that his friends had forgotten him. His wife was nagging him. People really despised and talked about him. Even his closest friends had come and accused him of being a hypocrite. He talks about how that his bones were sticking to his skin. Yet this morning as I read this, he makes the statement that I read in your hearing this morning. And in this text this morning, he tells us this morning that life is not going to defeat him. He's not going to let what takes place in this life defeat him, and he's not going to curse God. Over in the early part of the book, he writes that the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said, I'm not going to let life defeat me. I'm not going to let the things that have happened and the people that have turned against me bring me down and make me a defeated individual. He said, I'm not going to let Satan destroy me. I sometimes wonder this morning as I read the book of Job and as I study the life of Job that God actually put Job in the devil's hands. And he, this morning, became a great testimony for the Lord. I wonder, how would I do? How would you do if the Lord suddenly decided to simply put you in the devil's hands and let the devil do with you as he wished? You see, he removed the hedge from about Job and gave Satan free rein in his life. But yet we find that Job here in this chapter is going to tell us this morning that Satan is not going to destroy him and his testimony for the Lord. He's not going to let Satan do unto him what Satan said he would do. And he's determined to still remain faithful and true unto God. He said, I'm not going to let people discourage me. You know, people this morning are sometimes very discouraging. You read Job, you find that people wanted to come and they were supposed to be encouragers, but they became discouragers. They wanted to discourage Job. I often wonder, you know, you go to the hospital and you're laying there in the hospital bed and somebody comes in to see you. And they say, what's the matter with you? Well, the doctor said this and might be this. Well, I had an aunt that had that. Well, what happened? She died. I'm thinking, well, that's real encouraging, isn't it? Or somebody comes in your hospital room to see you and they start telling you all their problems. You ever notice that? People will discourage you sometimes. Yesterday, I remember when I was in high school and we were talking about one of the things that happened, and one of our classmates, we had a teacher, and she told him he had never amounted to anything. And sure enough, you know, he became a professor and one of the deans of the school down at Mississippi State, and he came back one time to give a pep talk to the students and tell them to stay in school, and he told us, I was thrilled to death because she was still there. You know, people will discourage you. But Job said, I'm not going to let people discourage me. I'm not going to let them get me down. I'm not going to be discouraged by people this morning. Job said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I wish that my words this morning that I'm about to say, I wish that these things that I have in my heart would be able to be written down and be there forever, but the whole world to see. Well, thank God today the Holy Spirit recorded them. Amen. And they're there for us this morning that we might hear what Job has to say during this period of time in his life. And I like this morning how that he begins this in verse number 25 when he gives this testimony. For he said, For I know. I'm glad this morning that we can know. I'm glad there's some things that we can know this morning. I'm glad this morning that we can be certain. We're not just guessing about things. We're not just hoping for things. But thank God this morning we can be certain about some things. And I can travel and walk through this life with confidence this morning because I know some things today. Job said we can be courageous. We can look at the enemy in the face and still be courageous this morning because we know. You know, this morning we're facing many enemies in our life. And, of course, as the Bible says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But this morning we can face death even today with courage because we know. The Bible many times talks about the word know. And, you know, I remember several years ago I went to one of my friend's father's funeral, and the preacher preached, and he talked about we know. You know, Paul said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Thank God we can know today that all the things that are happening to us are working together for good. We can know this morning. We can be certain. We can walk through this life with confidence and courage because we know that all things that are happening to us this morning are working together in our life to bring good for us. Paul said, we know that as far as the house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a home in heaven, eternal in the heavens, a house not built with hands. Thank God when we leave this walk of life, we this morning know that this is not the end, that God has a special place for us today. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm glad this morning that I know whom I have believed this morning. I'm glad this morning that I know him. More importantly today, I'm glad that he knows me. John said, we know when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. I'm glad we know today. That's what Job is saying. That's one of his testimonies here. That's one of the things that could say to us this morning that I'm not going to let life defeat me or Satan destroy me or people discourage me because I know God. I know what God has done and I know what God can do this morning. Job said, my Redeemer liveth. I want to tell you this morning, praise the Lord, he lives. He's alive. Jesus Christ this morning is our Redeemer. And our Redeemer liveth. They have a movie out now, I think, called God Is Not Dead, and I know absolutely nothing about the movie, to be fair with you. Not here to either way. But the one thing I can tell you this morning, I don't need a movie to tell me God is not dead because I know. I know. I know my Redeemer liveth. That's a great thought today. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I'm glad this morning that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I'm glad I have the blessed hope of knowing that Jesus Christ is coming again. One of these days he's going to stand upon the earth. Job said, whom I shall see for myself and mine eyes shall behold and not another. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see him out of my own eye, though my reins be consumed within me. He said, and though after skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Hallelujah, today I'm going to be, this body will go in the ground, but hallelujah, I'll still see God. Amen. What a comfort we have today. What does this say to us today? What's Job saying, and what is this passage of Scripture doing for us this morning? Well, it's telling us, first of all, that we're homeward bound. We're headed toward home today. You know, we sometimes think about home, and there's a lot of songs that's been written about home. I'll be home for Christmas. Last evening, I was watching television, and they were singing, Take Me Home, Country Roads. I remember when I was in high school, we used to have to gather in the auditorium and somebody would come in, we'd have to sing. And I remember one of the songs that we sang, When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again. Home on the Range. You see, this morning we're homeward bound. Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, that we're not citizens of this world. You see, this is not our home today. He tells us, let me read to you in the book of Philippians chapter number 3, what the Apostle Paul says about us this morning. He said in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse 21, For our conversation is in heaven, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look also for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, our citizenship's in heaven. That's where we're really citizens of this morning. This world is not our home. I like to sing some of those songs this morning and worship the Lord and begin to think about what God has for us. I'm bound for the promised land. I hope you are too. When we all get to heaven, I'll fly away. Had a fellow say one time, that's the most unscriptural song ever been written. I said, what do you mean? He said, ain't nothing in the Bible says about fly away. I said, well, although Paul said that he is ready to be offered in time if his departure was at hand. And I said, that word departure means to wing free. Hallelujah, I'm going to wing free one of these days. I'm going to fly away. I'm headed for home. The roll is called up yonder. I'll be there. And you know, as we're headed for home, every day brings us closer, doesn't it? Brings us closer to that grand reunion day. You know what that means to us today? It's what Job was experiencing here in our text and all the things that Job had went through. And Job knew that there was a time when he would end all of his earthly trials, when all the pain and the suffering would be gone. Paul says, and we've been studying the book of 2 Corinthians on Wednesday evening, and in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul says this in verses 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight and eternal weight of glory. While we look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're on a journey. We're headed to our home. And along this journey, sometimes we have some joy. Had a grandson born last week, little bundle of joy come into this world. I see children running and playing, and sometimes we experience times of joy in our life. We experience times of laughter. Somebody said, I like laughter. I like humor. I like to laugh. We have times of pleasure. We just enjoy. But you know, we also have times of pain. We have times of grief, and we have times of suffering. Sometimes we're down in the valley, and sometimes we're up on the mountain. We have days of success and days of failure. We have good days, and we have bad days. Why is it easier today? Why in this journey that we own, why didn't God just pave the road and make her smooth sailing all the way? You see this morning, unhappiness and all that goes with it cultivates in all of us this morning a hunger for something better. Cultivates in us a hunger for a better place. You see, we're not really happy here. And we'll never really be happy here because this is not our home. Brother Peter said, we're strangers and we're aliens and pilgrims. He said in another place that people here think it strange that we run not with them to ride where it's success. You see, but we're not home here. We're not home in this world. We're kind of like a fish. You go take a fish and bring him out of the water and put him up on the beach. You lay that fish up on the beach and he flops and jumps and does everything, and you know, you can take all the money that you could find and cover that fish, and he's still going to be flopping. Still hadn't satisfied him. You can go buy him a copy of Playfish and put over him. That's not going to satisfy him. You give him a diploma from the most prestigious university in the world, and that's not going to satisfy him. You can buy him double-breasted fins, and that'll not satisfy him. The only thing that's going to really satisfy that fish, it's when you take him and put him back into that water. That's what he's longing for. This morning, as we travel on this road of life, as we experience the pain and the suffering, as we experience these things that we go through in life, it's this morning saying to you and I that, hey, there's a better place and I'm longing for it. I'm headed for a better place, thank God. be a glad reunion. Paul wrote in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, as he wrote to that church, and he says these words to them. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You see, there'll be no more sad goodbyes. We'll not have to stand over a grave of a loved one. We'll not have to go to that house of bereavement. We'll not have to weep in the wee hours of the morning, because we'll have no more sad goodbyes. There'll be no more tears to come into our eyes and cloud our sight. There'll be no grief to break our hearts this morning. There'll be a time when no sorrow will come into our bosoms. As I read through the Bible, and I find that Jesus Christ many times performed miracles of giving life back to individuals. In Luke chapter number 7, you find that he met a funeral procession. There, as they were headed toward the graveyard, a widow's only son had died, and Jesus raised him from the dead and gave him back his mother. Oh, what a miracle that must have been. What a reunion that must have been between that mother and that child. In the book of Luke chapter number 8, you find a man by the name of Jairus had a daughter that was sick nigh unto death. And she died, but Jesus arose and brought her back to her father. In the book of John chapter number 11, we know that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, yet Jesus brought him out of the grave and gave him back to his family this morning. Sometimes you wonder, why did God include these in the sacred record? I think this morning is to give us a glimpse of what Jesus is going to do for us, of the miracle that Jesus is going to perform for you and I this morning, and what we're going to experience one glorious day. You know, the song says, rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. This morning, Jesus Christ is going to resurrect our bodies. And he's going to, this morning, give us a glad reunion with all of those who died in the Lord. And we're going to have no tears and no sorrow, no grief. And we're going to be home. Boy, I'm glad I'm headed home this morning. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a citizen of glory. What a day that'll be, amen? I just can't imagine how it's going to be. I just, in my mind today, I sometimes sit and think about what a day that'll be, but I don't think in my little finite mind I can really conjure up the glory and the grace of what's going to happen on that wonderful day. And then we're going to see our Redeemer. We're going to see our Redeemer. That's what Job said. I know in my flesh I shall see God. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He's seeing. We're going to get to see Jesus this morning. The songwriter said, oh, I want to see him, to look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. I want to see Jesus this morning. I want to see the one who loved me when I was unlovable. I remember many years ago, I was with my dad, and he wanted me to take him to the old home place. And so I got him in my truck, and we went out, and I said, you'll have to tell me exactly how to get there. And so he said, I know how to get there. Okay. So we got there, and here's this finally we come up this road, and he said, take this road. We took a little gravel road, and then he said, turn right here. Kind of a little brush-looked trail up through there, and I said, Dad, you sure? He said, I said, where it is. We went down this little trail down through the woods, it looked like, and, you know, we just bounce and have to go around curves, had to nearly get up around rocks. Kind of hard to get out there, and finally drove up there with the old house all covered up with bushes and everything sagging and falling in. And he said, that's where I was raised. That's the old home place. You know, I got to thinking about that. There wasn't but one way in there. One way we could get there. And that's kind of the way it is with heaven, isn't it? There's one way to heaven, that's Jesus. You know, sometimes we go down that trail of bumpy roads, not smooth sailing all the time. Sometimes I'd look over at Debbie and I'd say, are you sure? And she'd say, I know. You know, as we travel through this life, sometimes we're going down that bumpy thing and I have to say, are you sure? But I'm sure. One of these days I'm going to come into that clearing where the Lord is this morning. And as Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. Though the skin worms devour this body and my flesh, I shall see God. This morning, there's one way, and that's Jesus Christ. No other way. People are trying so many other ways today, but there's one way. There's one way, and that's through Jesus. Life is not always pleasant. Life is not always all that we would have it to be. And one thing I want you to keep in mind today is that though everything else be against us, God is for us. Like the old fellow said, if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? The old fellow said, people. A lot of things can be against us, but I want to tell you, if the Lord's for us, what difference does it make? This morning I'm headed to heaven. I want to see my Redeemer. I want to see Jesus. One way to get there, and that's through Jesus. I thought we were singing a minute ago, saved by the blood of the crucified one. And that's the one song everybody can sing in heaven. We are saved by the blood of the crucified. Are you headed to heaven today? Are you headed that way? If you're not, Jesus Christ receives sinful men. All right, if you stand together with me, Bruce and Garbert, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message and use it to honor and glory him who loved us and gave himself for us. His precious holy name I pray.